there are some basic things you can do to make your way toward that land of critical mass, that land of no alarm clocks. And I know many of you have done this and you're on your way. And for those of you that are looking to get started, there are some basic things that you can do to get started. And I think the most basic of all is to start saving a minimum, if you can afford it, of 10% of your income and investing that money wisely. And if you want to know how to get started, I'll give you a simple way to get started with just $3,000 in a personal account. You can invest on a dollar cost average basis to get started in something like the Total Stock Market Index. And you can do the Total Stock Market Index through the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund or the Fidelity Spartan Total Stock Market Index Fund. Those are both very low cost ways. And that gets you started. And as you're earning, you're taking a minimum of 10% of what you make if you can afford it. And you're adding to your investment stake over time. And then you can participate in the growth of corporate enterprise over time. And I'll tell you, it is a really good way to get started. And especially if you have one of those tax privileged accounts at work, such as a 401k, a 403b, a 457. Where you can even put that money aside off the top of your income, not to be taxed on it until you take it out later in retirement. So that is a great way to get started. Obviously, you want to get your credit card balances to zero so you can pay them off monthly. When you pay them off monthly, you don't pay interest. Because many of the credit card companies, as well as the department stores, charge what I consider to be usury rates of interest in today's world, rates in the mid-teens, high teens, even the low 20s in some cases. You don't want to pay that. So you simply pay off your credit card balance monthly. You can use your credit card, but you pay it off monthly. And that way you're not accumulating debt, piling up debt at high interest expense over time. And that's another thing that is a very good way to stay out of trouble with your finances. And there are many other ways as well that we've talked about. And certainly in terms of insurance, for heaven's sakes, give consideration to term life insurance if you're looking for protection from the loss of a breadwinner. Because term life insurance will provide you at very low expense protection against the loss of a breadwinner. And after all, that's what insurance to me, that's what insurance is. You need insurance when something goes wrong. I do not recommend using insurance as an investment vehicle because I think the numbers are skewed in the favor of the insurance company, not in your favor, in my opinion. Always keep that in mind. Another thing we've talked about, of course, is maximizing the deductibles on your insurance contracts, house, home insurance, car insurance. You self-insure up to the maximum deductible. You put that money aside, it's there if you need it, and that way you save a lot of money on your premiums every year because the premiums are much lower for maximum deductible homeowner and car insurance policies than they are if you're paying for low deductibles. If you want to know one of the worst investments I've ever seen, it's a low deductible homeowners or car insurance policy, because when you compute what you are paying on the difference between the minimum deductible and the maximum deductible in annual premiums, you will find you are paying a high percentage when instead you can simply self-insure by having that money aside. So many things that you can do to move the ball, to move yourself forward, and I hope you do. 1-800-934-2221. Bill is on the line. Bill, listening to the great KSFO Radio San Francisco. Bill is in A's country in Oakland. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I'm also in Raider country.
Yeah, well, you're gonna be losing the Raiders, but someday you might be glad.
Bob, I'd like to add a question. What do you think the effect on Las Vegas will be with the Raiders moving there economically?
I don't know, because I don't know what the future of that that sport itself is. I think it's a very hard question to ask right now, but I think with the CTE evidence coming out, I don't think we know the future of what's going to happen there.
Okay. First, I want to tell you I appreciate your prologues on each program that you start off with, and they're very informative. My question to you is, how does the price of the dollar affect the yield on bonds? I don't follow that. I'm not sure I completely understand it. Can you help me?
Well, let's take a look at the economic consequence of dollar exchange rate changes. Now, what happens when the dollar is strong? When the dollar is strong, the price of U.S. exports overseas goes up. That means that they become less competitive to locally produced products, and that is a headwind for export sales. We know that. What happens when the dollar goes down? When the dollar goes down, the price of U.S. exports overseas becomes more competitive. And that is a tailwind for the U.S. export account. We know that. But the real question is, what impact does dollar movement have on Federal Reserve policy? Because it is Federal Reserve policy that has a high degree of correlation with what happens to interest rates. For example, we know when the Federal Reserve tightens monetary policy significantly, we have a tendency to see higher rates. And we also know that when the Federal Reserve loosens monetary policy, eases policy, we have a tendency to see lower rates. We certainly saw that with quantitative easing, because quantitative easing flooded the markets with money in order to produce excess liquidity. They did this on purpose because they were coming out of the financial crisis and they wanted the economy to get on a recovery track, which it has for many, many years. It's been growing in the neighborhood of about 2.1%, 2.2% on an average basis. And in the first half of this year, on the data available right now, it has grown at an annual rate of 2%. So we certainly know that when the Fed is very easy in its monetary policy, that rates tend to come down and stay low, which is what's been happening in recent years. So that really is the key. Federal Reserve policy. In other words, if I were you, Bill, I would not really focus on what the dollar is doing so much as I would focus on what the Federal Reserve is doing with their monetary policy with reference to bond prices, because from my point of view, Federal Reserve monetary policy is way more important than what is happening to the dollar. Also, we have not seen much at all in the way of rhetoric from the Federal Open Market Committee on the dollar. They've been fairly quiet on the dollar, which tells us it has not been a major chord in their decision-making process, at least not recently. Great call, and I appreciate it very much. From Oakland, California, 1-800-934-2221. Colin is on the line in Arroyo Grande. Colin, welcome.
Hello, Bob. Colin here from Arroyo Grande.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I subscribe to your newsletter, and I listen most weeks when I can. I was interested in your opening presentation where you spoke about property taxes and state and local tax deductibility should the administration get their way. I did a quick tot-up of what we pay. We'd be about $12,000 that we would not be able to deduct. So my question to you is, what impact do you think that would have if it happened to real estate in California?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because tax deductibility of property taxes would be one of many factors that would affect real estate prices in your area. There would be a long list of factors, not the least of which is the supply-demand factor. So the question would be, how would that affect decision-making by homeowners? For example, and you can answer these questions as well as anybody, would it have any effect on the ability of a homeowner to stay in their home, or would it force any homeowners in your state to sell their property because the loss of the deductibility put a financial strain on their pocketbook? Those are the kinds of questions that I would ask. But I would want to point something out that I think is very important on this score. This is going to be one of the most controversial issues ever presented to the U.S. Congress. You have to understand that in your state, you have a large regimen of members of Congress. You have, frankly, you have a very large regimen of congressional members from your state. I'm not talking about your two state senators. I'm talking about all of your House members, your House members. And so my guess would be that a substantial contingent of those representatives would go to bat for that deduction. You're not the only one. There are very high income taxes in places like Hawaii, places like Oregon, and many other places in the Northeast, and other states as well. And I think that you're going to have a political Donnybrook in the House of Representatives. That's what I'm talking about on this issue. So I would not for a moment assume that this is going to be easy to see happen.
So it sounds like you're not optimistic that it would happen.
I have no idea what Congress is going to do, because you know why? I'll tell you why. Because they have no idea what they're going to do.
Okay. Thank you very much for your input. I appreciate your program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Colin. Great to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, what you're going to have to do on this issue of the deductibility of state and local taxes, including property taxes, income taxes, you're going to have to monitor what is coming out of Congress. And it's Congress that is going to make this decision. I would not be looking at the executive branch on this one, because the executive branch favored a health care reform bill that was not approved in the U.S. Senate and never happened. So it doesn't matter what the executive branch wants. It matters how the votes are cast in the U.S. Congress. On this particular issue, when you have a state like the Golden State with all of those representatives and all of those constituents drumming into the representatives that they wanted to protect their tax deduction, I'll tell you what, that's the definition of a Donnybrook.